Chapter 10. I knew enough about interstellar travel to realize that time frames and reference level fates were also adjusting. There would be no paradoxes, no curling or bunching up of world lines in slipspace. The secrets that lie between the streaking particles and waves that make up atoms are said to be vast. From those inner secrets, forerunners have prodded sufficient power to change the shape of worlds, move stars, and even to contemplate shifting the axes of entire galaxies. We have explored other realities, other spaces. Slip space, denial of locale, shun space, trick geodetics, natal void, the photon-only realm called the glow. But the vastness between suns is great, and mysterious in a very different way. Our familiarity with these distances has, I think, almost been lost, because we cross them so blithely. But no forerunner memory would be great enough, perhaps not even the combined memories of all the forerunners who ever lived, to remember the second-by-second events of a simple walk between two neighboring stars, this far out in the galactic arm. We fly over and above, but just barely through all that. And yet, this journey, in this ship, seemed to me to last forever. I felt it in my unarmored flesh and bones. I was naked to space for the first time in my life. I hated it. We arrived. And then, perversely, I regretted that it was over. We looked down over a huge, bleak, rocky gray world, a slagged and singed corpse which must have recently supported life, for it still wrapped itself in an atmosphere sufficient to allow armored forerunners to survive, if not our humans. Shaka Sunriser lingered in a corner of the command center. Riser tossed in restless half-sleep. Shakas looked out at us with a frightened, angry expression. He knew he was far from home. He suspected he would never return. He owed nothing to forerunners, least of all to the Didact. I actually worried for him, strangely enough.
"This used to be a precursor hub world," the Didact said. "Once, it was covered with tremendous structures. Mostly intact. Extremely impressive."
I looked down, prepared to be awed. I had never heard of such a place. It made sense that the higher forms would conceal real treasure. The Didact's voice deepened.
"It's changed," he said.
"How changed?" I asked. We walked around the command center, past the humans, the Didact leading the way, as we surveyed hundreds of magnified images gathered from our first orbit.
"No orbital arches. Looks as if they've collapsed out of orbit. Look at those long linear impacts. Everything's corroded. I recognize hardly anything. Not the arena, not the highway, not the giant's armory, nothing, really."
"That can't happen," I said. "Precursor artifacts are eternal. They are with us as reminders of our littleness forever."
"Apparently not," the Didact said.
He seemed to be formulating a theory. Then he clapped his hands, massive, booming slams of armor and flesh, and pointed one arm up. The command center complied and began to search and magnify the sky across a broad spectrum.
"You've studied the basic principles of precursor technology, what little we know?" the Didact asked.
"What little we think we know? No one has ever seen precursor technology in action."
"I have,"
the Didact said, and gave me a look from the corner of his dark, slitted eyes.
"Once. Tell me what you know, what's changed in our understanding in the last 1,000 years, and I'll judge whether you might be of use to me."
"The basic principle was called neural physics," I said. "Precursors felt the mantle extended to the entire universe, energy and matter as well as living creatures. Some say the universe lives but not as we do.
Some say. Since my exile, have we cracked their techniques, acquired their learning?
No. That is why I seek the Organon.
Well, it doesn't exist,
the Didact said.
Not as such.
Another layer of disappointment fell over my thoughts. I suppose I knew that, I said. But the quest is the joy of it.
Ever so. The quest, the fight, never the finding or the victory.
I looked up at the Didact, surprised. The Voyager's sensors scanned heat and other radiation signatures in the sky, latencies in cosmic ray patterns from the inner galaxy and outer reaches of the spiral arm.
Our humans should feel right at home here,
he said.
Once, they knew these worlds better than Forerunners. They fought and died here, surrounded by precursor ruins.
He slowly turned, the displays silently precessing with him. Then he pointed out a void in the system's magnetic flux.
There was recently a huge construct nearby, no more than 300 million kilometers from here.
Precursor? I asked.
No, Forerunner, but big enough. The size and mass were sufficient to create a persistent distortion in the system's field. See that? It even leaves a mark in the stellar winds.
How recently?
Judging by the diffusion of its magnetic shadow, 4 or 5 decades ago. Portal technology has grown enormously more powerful. But to move such an object, they must be slowing other traffic throughout the galaxy.
He swept out his hands like a sculptor and tugged down virtual charts, diagrams, simulations based on the sensor's measurements. What they revealed was a circular gap in the interstellar medium and a drawn-out loop in the star's vast, slowly wobbling magnetic field, its patterns smearing outward for hundreds of millions of kilometers.
This world was recently used as a test subject,
the Didact said.
I can guess by whom.
Test for what?
They transported a great, sinful weapon into the system and fired it. Then they left and took it with them. The builders are going ahead with their plan. Complete neural destruction. When I entered my exile, the designs had not been finalized. Apparently that's changed. This time, they tried it on a limited scale. However, there has been an unfortunate side effect, one I hope they did not anticipate. We must act quickly.
The displays quivered and vanished.
The librarian heard about the test. Knowing she would try to alert me, the builder set up surveillance to watch her. She could not come to release me herself, but she had made other arrangements by using what she loves most, our most problematic brethren.
He glanced at the humans.
Ultimately, they helped save me from being captured. They are her servants, whether they know it or not.
They know, I said.
And whether I like it or not, she knew they must become my allies,
the Didact said.
You as well. We are going down to the planet, all of us. You'll require armor. The ship will outfit you.